April, so plan on that. And then on April the 23rd, Sarah Benke will be having a senior recital, 5 o'clock at the LU School of Music. And if you'd like more information about that, you can see Andy or Ann. The only other announcement I'd have you look at is this coming Thursday, both in the morning and in the evening sessions of our Bible study. I like to do this about every quarter. Every 6 months. We're just having an open question and answer time. Several have asked to just have a time where instead of you showing up and hearing what I'm planning to say, you show up with whatever questions about life or the Bible or our church or anything. And not that we will have an answer, but together we'll look for one. So that will be a question and answer session this Thursday at both of those. I encourage you to come to that. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. Any prayer requests this morning that you would like to share? Yes, ma'am, Karen.
I'm also going back tomorrow for a BCD treatment. I took her last Monday, but we just pray for her because I will not be going with her. My aunt and uncle are taking her. So I just pray that the transition goes smoothly when she has to lay on that bed for 2 hours.
Let's keep Garvey in our prayers for her treatment. Do you know what time the treatment is?
It's at 1, but last Monday they're running behind, so they didn't do it until 2:02, so hopefully they'll be on schedule.
So sometime tomorrow, and in particular in the afternoon, let's keep Garvey Atkins in our prayers as she's having treatment. Thanks, Karen. Yes, Carol.
Isabella Smith, she's 5 days old, and she's in the NICU unit in Richmond, and she's having problems with her breathing.
Isabella Smith,
mm-hmm.
5 days
old.
And where is she located?
Richmond.
In Richmond. At VCU, or?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So let's keep her, she's in NICU, in prayer. Let's keep little Isabella in our prayers. Any other items? I have a joy. We had our first of two prayer retreats yesterday, and it did my heart good to see, as one author called it, a long obedience in the same direction. And to see someone who's 86 years old and his mind is still sharp, and he's been preaching since he was 17, and to just, he almost could read the phone book, and it would be a blessing just hearing his heart. But it also was a good time to focus on prayer. And we're doing it again. I know several of our congregation went and they can attest to the blessing it was. But we'll be doing it again this coming Saturday from 9 to 12. So if you're able to attend, I think it would be a blessing. That was the praise I had. Any other items for prayer? Yes, Lisa.
My aunt in Millboro, Virginia, passed away day before yesterday.
Okay, what was her name?
Patricia Stinnett.
Let's keep the family Patricia Stinnett in our prayers. And Lisa.
Thank you.
Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this day, for the goodness that is our joy, a goodness that is the promise that you meet us new every day with bountiful blessings and grace and strength, forgiveness and love, and the promise of your presence. We have never faced a day in our lives without you guiding and directing and protecting. Even on the darkest days, your light was present. So we are grateful for your faithfulness unto us. And we thank you. It's appropriate for us to gather and praise your name. For your name is the only name that's exalted above every other name. Your voice is that which we long to hear. And we're grateful that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are enabled as your sheep to hear your voice and know you. So we pray today that we would hear your voice, sing your praise, focus on your word, and come to the table appreciative of your absolute unconditional love for us all. We thank you for the opportunity to be in a family of brothers and sisters, like-minded, sharing our heart, sharing those things. We thank you for the joy of gathering yesterday, and we just pray that we would individually and as a church come before you in prayer more and more. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given, and we pray that you would be with those that have been mentioned today. We pray that you'd be with little Isabella. We know that your heart goes to all, but our heart especially goes to the innocent children that are suffering. Just draw close, strengthen her, put a hedge of protection, and heal her body and the complications she's going through. Be with her family, her parents in particular. Encourage them and comfort them during this trying time. We pray that you'd be with Darby tomorrow as she has her next treatment. We pray that it will be effective, and also just help her to have peace in the process. We pray that you would be with the family of Patricia Stennett. Just thank you for the lives that are lived in our midst that are joy and blessing. And we ask your blessing upon their family during this time of grief. We pray that also for Betty Smith, for Stephanie Garrett. May their families look to you and you alone, as we all do, as our only source of strength and help in time of trouble. And because you are always faithful, we find our strength in the joy of the Lord. So we gather to praise your name, asking all these things in that holy name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, we call each other to worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins are proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 126 responsively, calling each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing hymn 220 as we begin our praise. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dreamed.
And then the mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then they said among the nations, the Lord had done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev.
And those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
Jesus, cry of my heart.
lesson is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Here ends the reading.
Into the kingdom of light, and as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. praise, our lives, our all, to your glory and the good of our neighbors. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 20. And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. But when they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, and so as to deliver him up to the authority and the jurisdiction of the governor. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for all the blessings that we have. Chief of all, we are not left alone. For we believe that the God who is there has spoken. And has not only spoken, but has given us his Spirit, so that we can comprehend, not through our own devices, but spiritual words compared with spiritual things through the work of the Spirit. Thank you for removing the scales from our eyes. We would see Jesus and him alone. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Without talking too much about me, I'm hitting sort of a milestone that's, I guess, new for me. This year, I turned 60 years old. And I've learned that there's some real gifts that come along that I didn't ask for. Two in particular this year I've noticed is one is my hands just seem to hurt all the time without any reason at all. My good doctor said that was like arthritis. That didn't bother me as much as his following commentary when he said, "Well, it's simply age appropriate." The other thing that I'm learning, and I know some of you that may be a year or two beyond that will probably tell me it just will continue to get worse, is for the first time in my life, I've always been absent-minded. But generally, I could open my mouth and I could remember to the end of the sentence what I would want to say. But I'm finding that I'm opening my mouth and I don't know, I just forgot what. I hear it gets worse, doesn't it? Wayne? Yeah. We hear jokes all the time about how easy it is to forget that all seniors live in the hereafter. They walk from one room to the other wondering what they're hereafter. And we joke about that, and it tends to be so easy to forget. But I'm going to suggest to you today that our real problem is that we're not very good at forgetting. There's an enigma that we struggle with. If you would agree with me, we tend to forget the things we should remember and remember the things best forgotten. Our passages today talk about those things best forgotten. So I spent the last week or so trying to come up with what are some things we need to forget. Now there's some things you ought not to forget. Where your keys is, the name of your spouse, you know, other things like that. There's some things that you shouldn't forget. I had a seminary professor, well, actually college, I never had him in seminary, and long before cell phones, he stopped at one of the way stations back when there used to be only three truck stops along the West Virginia Turnpike. He was coming back from a meeting. His wife was sleeping in the back seat of their automobile. Sumner got out and pumped gas, and he went in to pay, and his wife woke up and thought this would be a great time to go in and use the ladies' room, which she did. He came back, got in his automobile, proceeded on his merry way for a couple hours until West Virginia's finest stopped him and reminded him he had forgotten his wife. So there are some things you should not forget. But let me suggest five things I think we should, that the scripture would tell us that are best forgotten. The first one, and you know me, so I worked real hard to alliterate it, but it was easy to alliterate. The first one is our sins. The scripture is full of admonitions that God has forgotten our sins. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ, he has forgotten those. Let me use some of the words. In Psalm 103, he tells us he put them as far as the east is from the west. And I've told you before that it's instructive that he doesn't say from the north to the south. Because if you look at a globe, if you begin going north, there will be a time that you then are now going south. But if you begin going east, you'll never go west. They're totally removed. He has totally removed, Psalm 103 says. In Isaiah 38, he says he's put our sins behind his back. In Micah 7, he's drowned our sins in the sea. In Jeremiah 31, he's very explicit. I remember your sins no more. So let me ask you a question. If he's forgotten them, why do you remember them? Why do we hold on to those sins, those periods, those places and times where we know we blew it over and over? Why can't we let that go? Now, sometimes we have help in the remembrance. Sometimes there's a well-placed mother-in-law or boss or family member or friend who just tends to remind us of those. More often than not, it's that evil one working in our own thinking that brings just to destroy the peace and joy and the rest that God wants for us. But he can take it away by having us remember what he's forgotten. Paul's instructive here, not only in what he wrote in Philippians, but if you'll look with me in 1 Corinthians 4. Paul, as you know, had been Saul, a murderer of the church, a blasphemer of God. He had done things that would be extremely difficult for any of us to forget in our attempt to now live for Christ. But he says something very interesting in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. I'll begin reading verse 1. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required as stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself. Now, wait a minute, Paul. Unless you have amnesia, unless you have onset of dementia, you can't remember anything, Paul, that was against God and his people. You can't remember that? Changing your name doesn't just erase the past. But his point is, yes, he could be cognitive of those things. But he's saying because of the finished work of Christ, he's not aware of any sin that's he's no longer acquitted for, because he understood that Christ Jesus paid for those sins and covered them. He goes on to say, not that we can do anything we want, after verse 4, for I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. So he's saying, yes, I understand that there were sins, but I don't judge myself. I don't remember those. We are forgiven. It's faithless to obsess over what God has forgiven. We are arguing with God on the central promise that he's given. His central promise is that he came through Christ to seek and to save sinners and to forgive them for their sins. If we argue with God on the first point, if we try to remember that which God is saying is covered and forgotten, we destroy the peace that Christ wants for us. We are his. Christ has made us his own. We ought to forget those sins that God has covered. The second thing we ought to forget are, let me just call them, stupidities. They're not sinful, but they were really dumb. Those events where we made mistakes. We made a wrong decision. We went into a business arrangement that really we knew better. We established went some path, and we had some gut feeling that it's pretty foolish to do. And we all have those stupidities. We all have them. There's a reason why pencils have erasers and computers have delete buttons. We all make mistakes. We all do stupid things. But our faith and our understanding of the Word of God is that in God, nothing is wasted. If we look at what Paul says in Romans 8, does he say, "For I am convinced that all things work together for God, except those stupid things you did"? No, it says all things work together for good. And let me just tell you a rule of biblical hermeneutics. It's very simple, but it's profound. All means all. And that's all means. So when God says all things work together, he's already factored in your stupidity, my mistakes, in that. And we have to trust it. Probably the greatest example of this is a woman named Fanny Crosby. We sang one of her hymns today. She's a wonderful African-American hymn writer, singer. I made a mistake. But she was a wonderful hymn writer. And she's probably best known for Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. And if you know about Fanny Crosby, what do you know about her? She was blind. But did you know that she didn't have to be blind? When she was born, a doctor made a mistake and put an ointment on her eyes, and he put the wrong ointment. She didn't have to be blind. She lived a life of blindness because a doctor made a mistake, did something dumb. She wrote later in life, after hearing that this doctor had died, and I quote from Fanny Crosby's journal, many years after he died, she wrote, "If I could only meet that doctor now, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind. Although it may have been a blunder on your part, it was not a mistake on God's. I truly believe it was God's intention that I should live my days on earth in physical darkness, so as to be better prepared to sing God's praises and to incite others to do the same." She forgot those mistakes, those stupidities that I do, you do, we all do. because we trust that God has that way of making it work together. I don't need to remember them, because He's working all things in this new thing He is doing. So we forget our sins, we forget our stupidities. The third thing we forget are our sorrows. We forget our sorrows. Job said that life is short and full of trouble. There is brokenness. There's pain. We're tempted to think with Thomas Hardy, the writer, that human beings are just merely playthings, that fate and chance are just moving around. We all have days, weeks, months, years, where we just think things aren't fair. Nothing seems to be clicking. Everything seems to work for other people. I guess they must just be a little bit more loved by God than we are. Because it seems like nothing ever is fixed. Listen to Paul's list of things that seemed unfair. He was persecuted at Antioch. He was stoned at Lystra. He was whipped at Philippi. He was bound in chains at Jerusalem. That's not just Paul. Joseph in the Old Testament knew this, didn't he? He was traumatized as a young teenager. He was betrayed, beaten, and enslaved. He was falsely accused, forgotten, imprisoned. But he knew God was working everything out, even those points of sorrow. We know what he wrote in Genesis 50, verse 20, when he says to his brothers at the end, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." But he also wrote in chapter 45 to his brothers, he said to his brothers, "Now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me into slavery, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life." See, in our sorrows, we just trust. They hurt, but we trust we're not walking alone. We trust that through that pain and brokenness, God didn't abdicate us, didn't forget us, didn't leave us. He promised to walk with us. And we can not so much forget them, but remember them correctly. Not obsess, not think that our life somehow is off track, that God is somehow off the throne because of these sorrows we have. Let me add two more quickly that might surprise you. Sins, stupidities, sorrows, you probably get that these aren't helpful to obsess on. But let me add two more. We need to forget our successes. We need to quit living on what God did for us in the past. Paul says that in what Lisa read. All these wonderful things, none of which were bad. Being born a Jew, a Benjamite, you know, great training. All those things were good, but he said, I don't focus on that. I don't consider that any value. It's rubbish. Or to use a King James Version's word of that, it's dumb. I don't want it in my life as I move forward. That's what God did yesterday. I'm interested in what is God doing today? What new thing is God doing? Which way are you focused? In the past? It's a corny little saying, but you may have heard it. There's some insight to it. There's a reason why your vehicle, that your windshield is by far larger than your rearview mirror. But in how we look at our lives, some of us would think we need a bigger rearview mirror because we somehow think the best was behind us. That God's best was something He did in the past, and we need to get over it. If you still are holding on, thinking your best day that you were Miss Farm Festival in 1967, you need to move beyond that. We leave all things behind and we focus on, as the scripture says, God is doing a new thing. And sometimes we don't see what God is doing. And we have to trust. Look with me in that hall of fame, hall of faith, Hebrews 11. We know in Hebrews 11, there's just one list of one successful person after another. People that just really saw God work in a mighty way. And then he wraps it up, as I will, toward the end of Hebrews 11, in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. I mean, this sounds like really red letter events. I mean, this is God's mighty power. Easy to rejoice in these successes. But listen to what he goes on to say. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and floggings and even chains and imprisonment, for they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. And then the word of God says, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. You know that old Jimmy Rogers song, we'll understand it better by and by? Sometimes you will. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you'll go to your grave not understanding. But we live not on our understanding, but we lean upon the Lord. We trust not my ability to understand. I trust that all of those things, my successes and those lack of successes, are somehow being worked by God. And then the final one is, and I did have to stretch to make this alliterate to S, we forget those silly misunderstandings or disappointments. Going through life, there are going to be hurts and stings and slights. If we focus on those, if we can't forget those, we'll be miserable. Let me tell you a story that some have heard quick, so I'll say it quickly. I remember as a 24-year-old pastor, first-year pastor, I visited a nursing home of a lady, and I walked in. She was probably in her late 80s, maybe early 90s, and I could tell when I walked in, she was angry. You know how you can just tell when someone's angry and you've stepped into a hornet's nest? And I walked in, and I introduced myself as her new pastor, and she told me she was mad. And I asked why. And she told me that her sister had cheated her, had taken more of her parents' estate than was her share. And she was bitter and angry about it. Well, it was a well-intentioned but quite ignorant 24-year-old who really wanted to be a help. I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry. Can I maybe go get your sister and bring her here and we could try to work this through? No, she died 25 years ago. Her sister rested in peace. This poor lady, for at least 25 years, because she couldn't forget, had no joy. And was as angry about it the day I walked in as she was the day it happened. Because she couldn't forget. It's truly a trap of Satan. So let me say in closing that there are some things, the most important things, you have to learn to forget. It's a process. You have to forget it over and over and over again. And let me give you very quickly in closing three ways in which to help forget. The first is to repent. We think of repent as a negative term. Doing something fun, stop doing it. But the word repent means metanoia, change, a metamorphosis of your thinking. So we need to repent. We need to change our thinking about this constantly. As David talked to himself, he said, I said to my soul, you will rejoice. And sometimes we have to say to our mind, shut up. Stop obsessing. God is in control. We have to constantly let the Holy Spirit change our thinking, our focus. Secondly, we need to return to God. As we heard yesterday, if there's so many things we can't do, but He can, so ask Him to. Ask Him. Going back to Joseph, you know what he named his son? Manasseh. You know what Manasseh means in Hebrew? God has made me forget. Ask Him to. And then finally, the third thing is remember. Repent, change your mind, return to God, ask Him to do it, and remember. Not the things we just said to forget, but like Paul said, remember that higher prize, that calling of God. Remember to focus upon God and His Word. The promise that He's good and faithful. Remember to focus on God and His covenant. We are His. And we'll come and we'll receive the signs, the symbol, the sacrament of the covenant. Remember these things. Forgetting all those things, we strive forward to that upper call. This one thing we do. It's a difficult path, but will you join me in it? Through God's help. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of glory, you are worthy of thanks and praise because you set humanity in a garden of delight to glorify and enjoy you forever. When that garden turned into a valley of dry bones, you entered the valley in the form of Jesus Christ. You breathed life into the dry bones and made them sing again. You put your spirit within us that we might live. In the crucified Christ, you became dry bones for us. And at Easter, you showed us how to dance again. And so, as your resurrected people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we join in singing your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Listening God, you heard your son Jesus when he called on you in the face of Lazarus' death. Hear us now as we call upon you to bring new life through this meal of love and hope. Come among us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that your people may be transformed from dry bones to your living body, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body,
which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Resurrecting God, where your people are in the valley of the shadow of death, you bring them words of prophecy and hope. Where they are in the place of stench and decay, give them the balm of your healing and forgiveness. Where they are under the weight of grief and depression, roll away the stone. Make us your church, a place where dust can dream, where dry bones become flesh, where nobodies become your body. Reveal through Lazarus a foretaste of the resurrection of all creation. When every cheerful eye will gaze upon your consolation, and every weary throat be filled with your song, until every stone is rolled from every tomb, and you sit in glory, the resurrection and the life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. And since it's the Lord's table, as the host calling us to the table, he decides who's welcome. And in his love, he decided that all are welcome to come. Who love him, who hear his voice, and come to their shepherd. We come knowing that he is not only the shepherd that calls, he is the lamb that was sacrificed. So he's the host in two ways. We come at his word and we receive our sacrifice, Passover lamb. The feast is prepared. Come, let us behold and partake of the goodness of the Lord.
This do in remembrance of me. We thank you, our Father, for the promises you have made in your word, the signs that you have given to confirm that covenant, for the ultimate gift of your Son, slain for us, forever declaring and sealing that we are His, that you are ours, and that we rest in knowing that we are remembered by the altogether holy and loving One, not only in life, but through all eternity. This is our only comfort and our only hope in the joy of our lives. We thank you as your children. Amen. Let us stand and sing one of the best hymns. A hymn that reminds us that no matter what we would try to do, it would never be enough. All we need to do is stand on that rock given for us. Let us stand and sing together. Peace to love and serve our Lord.